Hi folks, Matt McSpirit here, technical evangelist for Microsoft and Channel 9 here on the Containers channel, and we are live at DockerCon 2016 here in Seattle. And I managed to grab Mike from Docker, who's going to bring us up to speed with some cool technology and cool announcements that have been made at the conference. But before we do that, Mike, tell us what you do at Docker.
Oh, sure. So I'm basically I'm the product management division of Docker Core Runtime. I'm the product manager. I'm a hacker. I do a little bit of coding.
So nice.
And I'm part of kind of the architectural group within Docker. We think about how to how the Docker platform should be evolving architecturally and bring that to fruition. And
cool. So the evolution is a good segue, because what we've seen in the two keynotes so far is a lot of evolution across users, across ops, but one of the key themes is around automation. And
yes.
That's something you've been working on?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So what we've been doing is building orchestration, container orchestration, into the platform itself. Mm-hmm. And our belief is that basically, when we talk to users, they're interested not just in running a single container, but also in running an entire application, which may consist of multiple microservices, and each of those microservices has, between one and n containers.
Right.
And so what we've done is introduce a new set of abstractions into the Docker platform that facilitate this kind of thinking, basically allow you to think at that higher level of abstraction about your whole application.
So great for the application owner who's got a vested interest in SharePoint or line of business application X, which has two database containers, two application containers, and perhaps a couple of web front ends as well, and they're all separated.
Right, that's exactly our thinking, that you should be able to manage them as a package.
Right.
And so we've introduced new subcommands into Docker. Everything is based around what we call a Docker swarm, a swarm of Docker engines.
Right.
So if you have 10 VMs, each running the Docker engine, you can tell them about each other, and they'll form together into a swarm, 10-node swarm. Once you have that swarm, that's the foundation on which you build. And then what you can do is deploy what we call services.
Yeah.
And a service, it's a microservice, right? It's one component of a larger, a set of services that comprise your application.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that gets distributed across this swarm? Is that how it works?
Right, yeah. So the Docker platform itself handles the scheduling. It handles, if a part of the swarm goes down, like if there's a network partition or a machine fails or several machines fail, the swarm is tolerant against those failures and it'll recover and it'll keep your application running without any downtime.
Okay. So if this is new in the engine and the platform, what was it like before? What did people have to do in order to achieve a similar kind of goal?
It was very complicated before. There are some third-party solutions that we think they're pretty complicated to set up and manage.
Right.
That was one route people were going. Other people were going in the route of scripting things, doing a lot of their own scripting and kind of managing it themselves.
That's complexity.
Yes, okay. Yeah. And we saw many people essentially building like internal PaaSes, internal platform as a service for their company because this problem was so hard to deal with.
Right.
And so that was kind of the impetus for us to broaden the scope of what the Docker platform is to allow these services and larger aggregations of services, which we call applications. And part of what we're doing today actually is introducing this new file format, the DAB file, Distributed Application Bundle.
Tell us a bit more about that. I did read about that online. And is that a way for you to aggregate multiple containers together? Or explain a bit more.
Yeah, so that's a deployment artifact.
Okay.
And the idea is that you use our existing tooling like Docker Compose or maybe third-party tools, and those tools let you define a collection of services together as a unit.
Right.
That's your application.
Okay.
And then you sort of compile them down into a DAB file in much the same way that, say you have a Java language code, you compile that to Java bytecode, which is a redistributable format. It's not, no one programs in Java bytecode. It's
right.
A machine
it's just
language.
An output.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But once you have that bytecode, you can run it on any platform.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
our thought with the DAB file is, okay, let's have a redistributable artifact that runs reproducibly on any environment. And so so you still define your application in Compose or a similar tool, but you generate this DAB file and then you can push that out to production.
So is a DAB file consisting, explain to us what it, does it consist of multiple containers, multiple images, help us understand what the building blocks of that are.
Sure, it defines multiple services and then each of those services could have any number of instances, meaning any number of containers. So let me give you an example. Think about a typical two-tier web application.
Okay.
You have a web front end and then you have a Redis database, right? Those are the two tiers.
Yep.
So you would define both of those as independent services. And then you might want a large number of replicas of the front end.
Gotcha.
Like say you want 20 replicas and you're going to load balance between them all.
Mm-hmm.
But then you want all of the data to go to a single database. So maybe you just want a single Redis instance.
Right.
And you can define all of that together in the DAB file.
Okay.
And then you can use a new command called docker deploy. You just tell Docker, deploy this DAB file, and it will make it happen on your swarm.
Cool. So if I'm a consumer, you say you've built your example. Have you stored it in the Docker Hub? Is that where you can, will I be able to retrieve from there, or is there another mechanism for me to get hold of it?
Yeah, yes. So the DAB format is still experimental in 1.12, but our plan is to add extensions to Docker Hub and to Docker. Docker Hub behind the scenes is just Docker Registry.
Right.
So it's the same, and Docker Trusted Registry is the commercial version
Correct,
of that.
Yeah.
And so the plan is to extend those so that you can pull and run DAB files from your registry.
And pull the dependencies with it and everything.
Right.
Okay, great. Yeah. So that gives people a really powerful way of deploying those more complex, multi-tier applications and workloads. And once it's deployed, so you've deployed your DAB file, what about the management and maintenance of that? What about updating or deploying new versions? How does that all work with this new kind of orchestration layer?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the whole premise that we've designed this system around is the notion of desired versus actual state.
Okay.
So when you deploy a DAB file, what you're really doing is telling the system, here's my desired state. This is a state that I want you to maintain no matter what happens.
Right.
And so you declare an initial desired state, and then the system will make that desired state reality. It'll cause desired and actual state convergence.
Right.
Then if over time you want to change that desired state, like you want to declare a new desired state where instead of 20 front ends there's 200, then you push a new DAB file, you deploy a new DAB file, and then that will the system will detect, okay, a new desired state has been declared. It doesn't match the actual state, which is still 20.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm going to take actions to bring that new desired state to reality.
So it's very similar. So a lot of our IT pros will be familiar with desired state configuration on the PowerShell side. So that concept of how you can make it so I'd like things to not drift too far from the from the reality of what I'm looking for, it's very, very powerful. So great for management, great for maintenance. Where can people, is it available? It's experimental, but is it something we can play with today in the product?
Yes, exactly. So as of right now at DockerCon, we're on RC2.
Right.
For each Docker release, we go through anywhere from 2 to 5 or 6 release candidates. And right now we have RC2. It's available. Come to docker.com. I think the blog post announcing Engine 1.12 has specific links.
Yeah, we can link to that as well in the notes. So.
Okay, great, yeah. So download RC2, or if you're watching this later, download 3, 4.
Whatever the latest release is.
Yeah, we expect to go GA probably late July or so.
Okay.
So, but yeah, absolutely, you can start playing around with this today. There's an experimental build, and there's what will be the GA build. And so if you want to play with the DAB file features, grab the experimental build. That's where they are.
Right.
All of the other orchestration functionality, though, is going to be in the normal release build, and so maybe we can link to both those.
Yeah,
and
absolutely. Yeah, we can do. Yeah, of course. Yeah. And so people can get started that way. They can download the experimental releases. Documentation, is there anything that helps people get started with it? Is there a couple of guides and stuff?
Yeah, we've updated the doc site. There's a getting started guide.
We
also have CLI reference, API reference. We talk to a lot of customers who are like, you know, I don't even want to deal with a CLI. I want to automate everything.
Right.
And they just want to talk to APIs. That's great. We support that, and we've got docs for that. Another great way to get started is what we've just announced here at DockerCon are these new additions of Docker for different platform. So we're starting with Azure and Amazon Web Services.
Mm-hmm, cool.
And so you can get these new Docker additions for AWS or for Azure and that'll give you a quick way to get started with Docker 112.
Cool, great. So yeah, you don't even have to deploy anything on premises, you can just start right in the cloud.
Right, right.
Very
yeah.
agile. Cool.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to tell people at home? Anything else you want to get people to, what's their call to action? What would be your one thing that you can recommend for people?
I would recommend just trying out Docker 112, trying these orchestration features, you know, create a swarm, you know, even if it's just a simple, a single node swarm works fine. You mm-hmm. can just
for testing and development.
Yeah, for testing development, just type Docker swarm init. You will have a Docker swarm, and then you can type Docker service commands, create services, update them, do rolling updates. You can look at the logs and you can watch how all of this cool security stuff we're doing, that we handle end-to-end encryption, we handle—
Between all of the nodes.
Yes. Yep. TLS mutual authentication, so that prevents against protects against man-in-the-middle attacks.
Yep.
We handle certificate rotation, which is something that is often very difficult to get right, and we've bundled it into the platform.
Cool.
So just all of these cool features, I would just encourage people to start playing around with them, and then come on GitHub and tell us what you don't like.
Yeah, and we'll provide your samples, provide your experiences and contributions. And stuff.
Exactly.
That's
yeah.
The power of it.
Cool. Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks, Mike, for your time. It's been
Thank
a pleasure
you.
To learn a little bit more, and hope you found it useful at home. And yeah, we'll see you again on another interview soon on the Channel 9 Containers channel here at DockerCon. See you again.